Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you this morning as we get into God's Word, as we study it together, and as we think about these things together. Indeed, it is great to be loved by our God and also have the opportunity to love one another. One year, Shelley and I visited the Australian Army Museum in Fremantle. Now, if you've never been there, you should go. You would enjoy it. One of the great areas that you see when you first walk in is the area where they have pictures of Victoria Cross recipients, VC recipients, those who have received the cross, this Victoria Cross Award, for their sacrifice, for their efforts to save others, for their efforts to face the enemy and to deal with the risk and sometimes even losing their life. The acts that we read about, the stories that were written there, were really inspiring, actually quite challenging as well. Each of these recipients faced very difficult circumstances and gave their lives or gave a great effort to save and rescue their fellow soldiers. After reading many of the accounts, I was surprised by the remarks of one of the VC recipients who actually ended up being a governor in New South Wales, of all places. His name was Sir Roden Cutler. And I'm going to read you what he said about the Australian soldier. He said, "The Australian soldier is known for not being good at taking orders. A captain who orders his men to exit the trenches and go charge the line will find that his men are not good at that. However, if the captain jumps out of the trenches and says, 'Come, men, follow me,' he will find that the Australian soldiers will follow him. The Australian soldier will follow their commander's lead." John's teaching and what we see here in 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, talks about an old command and a new command. The new command comes from Jesus' lips way back in the book of John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 34. "Just as I have loved you, you ought also to love one another." That's the command. And our brave king sacrificed himself to face the enemy, our enemy, and to rescue us. The command to love one another is not from the lips of a king who gives the order, "Go and charge the enemy," and stays in the trenches himself. Our king ordered us out of the trenches, but he went first. He went ahead, and we follow his lead, giving sacrificially and sacrificing and loving one another. For those in Christ, so what we read in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, so a little bit earlier than where we started this morning, in 1 John 2, 6, for those of us in Christ, whoever says he abides in him ought also to walk in the same way in which he walked. We follow the lead of our Savior. Genuine fellowship with God in Christ leads to genuine love for others who are in Christ along with us. So how will we as a church, and how will us as individual brothers and sisters, how will we love one another? Well, he loved us, so we need to follow Jesus' command, right? To love others. So don't be surprised that the king gives us a command. He's in charge. We're in his kingdom. This is where we belong. He's called us to live here in his kingdom. Therefore, we are to keep the king's commands. Again, chapter 2, verse 4, just leading into the passage that we're in, says this: "Someone who says, 'I know the king, I know Jesus,' but doesn't keep his commands," chapter 2, verse 4 says, "that person is a liar and the truth is not in him." Now, that's really strong language, isn't it? If you're not obeying the king's commands, then you're a liar if you say you know him. Wow, that's pretty tough. But it underscores the expectation of what we're meant to do as brothers and sisters in Christ in the kingdom of our Savior. So there's two commands here that Jesus talks about, that John talks about, this old command, this new command. And together they teach a crucial truth. The gospel command to believe Jesus, to trust him, is directly linked to the command to love one another. So let me just walk you through it. The old command is this. We see it in verse 7, so we're finally getting to our passage now. You're probably thinking, why is he going to back to all these other passages? Okay, we're in a passage now. Verse 7, John writes, an old command you had from the beginning. The old command is the word that you have heard. What was that word that they heard? Well, they first heard about this king. They first heard his command when they heard the gospel. Remember in the opening of John's letter here, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, he talked about Jesus, his readers, hearing from the apostles. And the apostles heard and they touched and they saw Jesus, who is the word of life. And then John proclaimed this word to the people. And they believed and they became brothers and sisters who shared in fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and all those who believe. So by believing, we become part of the kingdom of God. And then we take on and live that way. We obey the old command when we believed the gospel. That's the old command. But then John again appeals after our passage. He says, let what you heard from the beginning, this is chapter 2, verse 24, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, so believing on the Lord Jesus, trusting him, then you too will abide with the Son and the Father, and his promise is made to us, and it's this, eternal life. So by obeying the command, we enter into a fellowship, into this relationship with God, and we have eternal life. That's the initial command, the old command. Now let's get to the new command. Verse 8. He mentions this new command. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you. Now, he doesn't separate the old from the new. The gospel command to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the new command to love one another are linked. You enter the kingdom. You become God's child by believing in the Son. And your faith in Jesus connects you to this new kingdom. And you love those in that kingdom as well. John says, and this is the commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, and we love one another just as he commanded us. So these verses, chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, and right at the end of verse 8, illustrates the connection of the old and new commandment using that illustration of light. John loves this illustration. He talks about light often, light in contrast to darkness. Now, Jesus Christ loved his people. That's really evident from all of the Gospels and really across all of Scripture. Our God loves his people. His command to love was fully active in Jesus. He was the one who perfectly loves. And so that's why when John says in verse 8, at the end of verse 8, he says the true light was already shining. What's he saying? Jesus is light. Jesus is the light of God's love. Jesus loves perfectly. He is light. And the astounding truth in verse 8, is that this new command is true, and in him, not only in him, but look at what verse 8 says, and in you. If Jesus is alive in you, if his light is shining in you, then you are shining as well. because the darkness is passing away. Jesus, abiding in Jesus and him abiding in us means that we are light, the light of Christ. We love as well. The light that shines in him shines out from believers as well. Jesus and his love. I could think of, there's bigger numbers than this, but think of Jesus as a 2 million candle power torch. You know, just this huge bright. If you want to say 2 billion, that's fine. If you want to say 2 trillion, that's fine too. Just a big number, a very, very, very bright torch. He's entered your life and he lights it up. If you're a believer in Jesus, he has entered your life and he lights up your life. Faith connects you to the true light, and your darkness is passing away. And again, when we talk about individuals, we know that God works in individual lives, but he works in us as well as a body. So don't just think in your life, but think about what he does in the life of this congregation. Think about what he does in the life of the church across Perth and across the globe and throughout time. The light of Christ shines, and it drives away the darkness. See, his related, this new command and old command, it calls us to believe in Christ, and then it calls us to love one another. So how are you going to love one another? How are you going to carry this off, this loving for one another? Because I know you guys, some of you are very difficult to love. And if you really got to know me, see, I'm smiling and happy up here, but if you got to know me in my downtimes, I'm a little cranky person. In fact, Shelley thinks that I'm one of the grumps that she really does love. She loves the grumpy people. If you talk to Shelley about the history situation, she loves the grumpy ones in history, and I'm one of the grumpy ones that she loves as well. So I know we're all difficult at times to love, right? So how am I going to love you when you're difficult to love? How are you going to love me when I'm difficult to love? We need to walk in Jesus' light. We need to walk with him. See, John's use of light illustrates two key issues for us, two key things we need to take on board. First, Jesus is the light. That's the first thing we really need to take on board. Those who say, I follow Jesus, we are in the light. Believe it or not, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are in the light. You may not feel like it, and your light will shine, and the light of Jesus will shine through you, that love of Jesus. Or, if it isn't shining, verse 9 is true of you. Look at what verse 9 says. Whoever says he is in the light, in other words, I'm a follower of Jesus, whoever says he is in the light but hates his brother, he's still in darkness. So you can't hide behind spiritual words. Yes, I'm a believer in Jesus, and not love your brother. It's not allowed. Or to put it this way, it's think of it as a test. If you're hating your brother, but you say you're a believer, you fail the test. See, we reject the gospel of the King if we hate our brother. However, verse 10 is also true. If you're thinking of that as a test, whoever loves his brother abides in the light. So you put 9 and 10 together. Putting verse 9 and 10 together, the right place to be is in the light. Those who are outside the light are in the darkness. They hate their brother, but those in the light, they love their brother. Jesus' 2 million candle power light is shining in your life as you love one another. Those who follow him will shine the light of Jesus' light in your life. It will happen as we walk together with Jesus. Again, that togetherness. You see, love is a group activity. It's something we do together. I can't just say I'm a lover if I don't have someone to show love to. Jesus, from all eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they loved each other perfectly, always. Three persons in the Trinity loved perfectly. And then they love us and bring us in. And so we love like they love. Well, we're learning anyway, right? We're learning. Okay, so we learn the first thing is that Jesus is the light. The second thing we learn from these commands is that walking in the light removes stumbling. Jesus walked in perfect obedience to the Father. He obeyed all of God's commands. He perfectly displayed God's love. He is the perfect Son, and he perfectly loves. And as we follow Jesus in obedience to his light, or in obedience to his command, then the light shines in us as well. The benefit of his light is, look at what verse 10 tells us, the end of verse 10. The benefit of walking in the light is that there is no cause for stumbling. The word for stumbling there is scandal. Scandalon, that's the Greek word, but you can hear the word scandal. We don't cause others to stumble. We don't cause others scandal. We don't desire to see other people tripped up by our mess ups, by our lack of love. In my childhood, my sister and I had an uncle. His name was Uncle Pete, and Uncle Pete was blind. And one of the house rules when we would play over at my grandmother's house, my grandmother was married to this guy, Uncle Pete, who was not my grandfather, but we called him Uncle Pete. Anyway, when we were around the house and we were playing, our toys had to be picked up when we were done playing. We also liked to set up little furniture tents. You know, you put out the blankets over two chairs and they make a little cubby and we make little forts. And so my sister and I used to play around. And when we were done, the house rule was you picked up all your toys and you put the furniture back where you found it so that you didn't cause Uncle Pete to stumble. However, like little children do, many times we'd forget that we had put out or left out our toys, or we'd forget to put the furniture back. And then we'd cause Uncle Pete a bit of pain because he would run into the furniture or he'd stumble on a toy. And if any of you have ever stepped on a little Lego, you know what that feels like. So we sometimes messed up. Our disobedience would cause Uncle Pete to stumble over our toys and to hit his shins on the furniture. Since we never intended to hurt our beloved uncle, when our disobedience injured him, we always apologized. Because we had hurt him, we were hurt as well. We felt bad. You see, we walked in the light, and we wanted to make sure that our uncle did not stumble, and that we had no cause, that we had done nothing to make him stumble. But when we failed to obey, when we failed to obey the house rules, when we failed to love Uncle Pete properly, we humbly admitted that we caused him to stumble. Similarly, as Jesus' true followers, none of us will follow Jesus perfectly. We won't always get it right. We don't always obey. Sometimes intentionally messing up, sinning, and sometimes by mistake we sin. By just not doing it right. We don't want to cause others to stumble, but when we do, we must humbly admit our disobedience. We must return to walking in the light. That's the loving thing to do. Now, what if my sister and I actually hated our uncle? What if we really didn't care about him? What if we actually put out Legos in front of him just so that we could watch him fall over and stumble? What if we left out the furniture so that we could just, you know, have a giggle when he ran into it and goes, "Oh, again." we'd be ratbag children, wouldn't we? I mean, we'd be some pretty awful kids to make a blind guy stumble. You'd have to be pretty callous to do that. Essentially, look at verse 11. That's what John is saying. Whoever hates his brother is in the darkness. You're a ratbag. And you walk in the darkness. And you don't know where you're going because the darkness has blinded your eyes. See, again, it's love, practical ways of showing love, demonstrable ways of showing love that truly show that we walk with Jesus. How will you love your brother? Followers of Jesus, you and I, us together as a church, as a congregation of God's people, we need to walk in the light. Just as he loved us, so we love our brothers and sisters. But when we don't, we must apply the gospel. Love can still be shown. Ask Jesus for forgiveness. He's the lover, the perfect one. He loves his people. He will forgive. And ask those who you've sinned against to forgive you. Ask for forgiveness. When you cause another brother or sister in Christ to stumble, rely on Jesus' promised love to forgive you and allow your brothers and sisters the opportunity to practice their love for you as they forgive you as well. We read Leviticus earlier, Leviticus 19, and there's a lot of commands there. And did you notice at the end of each one of those commands, those little sections, it was because I am the Lord your God was the command there, underscored by the fact that God is God. We need to listen to him because he's God. We need to do what he says because he's God. Here we have, in a similar way, Jesus commanding us to love one another because he's God. And those were practical things that we saw in Leviticus 19. Love the needy, love the poor, love the stranger. If you see your brother in need, make sure they have what they need. Don't be false with your brother. Don't lie to your brother. Don't steal from your brother. Don't oppress your brother. These are all from Leviticus chapter 19. Don't do injustice to your brother. Always treat them equitably. Always treat them with respect and dignity. Don't slander them. Don't talk evil. Don't say untrue things about them. Don't hate them. Don't seek vengeance. If they've done you wrong, don't seek vengeance in return. Actually, in Leviticus 19, it isn't just with your brother. It's with those around you, your neighbors, even the aliens and strangers among you. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's not just a New Testament command. It comes from the Old Testament as well. You see, we overcome in what Jesus has done for us, in loving us, in saving us, not in what we do. No sin or failure to love others, if we fail, if we don't do this properly, no sin gets us kicked out of the family. Jesus' work is complete. He saves to the uttermost. He's taken care of all of our sin. He's accomplished our salvation. It is all-powerful. He is all-sufficient. The darkness is passing. His true light is shining. But don't hide your sin when you fail. Don't hide your sin. Instead, humbly admit your sin. Allow Jesus' love and the love of your brothers and sisters to shine and drive out the darkness. Do you remember what Jesus said was proof to the world that you are Jesus' disciples? It's from John 13. You are my disciples if you love one another. That's the proof that we are really the followers of Jesus Christ. Not our words, but our actions of love towards one another. Well, our words as well. We do want to give hugs and say we love you and and all that, all the greetings that we have. Afterwards, each of you hug one another. Okay, never mind. A holy kiss? I don't know. Whatever. Demonstrate love for one another. Stay around, socialize, pray for one another, care for one another. You see, it's really God's word here that is feeding and strengthening us, encouraging us to love, to care for one another. It's what we're going to see at the table, Jesus giving his life for us, that shows us that God has proven his love for us. God doesn't command us to love without supplying us with the love that we need to love one another. God commands, and he also gives us the love that we need to carry out his commands. That's what Jesus has given to us. That's what he proves to us at the table. That's what we're going to celebrate in a moment. God's love for us, but also in communion, loving one another. I read an article this week reflecting on the mercy all of us need from Jesus as we seek to walk in obedience. The article told the story of someone who battled sin and really struggled to properly love one another. And over time, here's what this person learned. Here's what he came to learn. I'm just going to quote from the article. Christ's love for him was the given on which his life depended. It was the bedrock. It was the anchor on which his life depended. The love of Christ. He could daily, because of Jesus' love, he could daily seek Christ's mercy for what he needed. Forgiveness from the Lamb, strength from the King, protection in the refuge of Christ's love, and guidance under the shepherd's hand. How will we love our brothers and sisters? We need to follow Jesus' commands. We need to walk in his light. We need to follow our King out of the trenches and sacrificially love, forgive, and serve one another. Brothers and sisters, depend on Jesus' love to meet all your needs. Seek his mercy to forgive your sins, and his strength to persevere in the difficulties that you face each day. Seek his protection from the evil one, and seek his guidance all along the way, each step of your day. Let's do that together as the body of Christ here in Armidale. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we recognize because you love us and your light shines in us, our lives are changed. Lord, we want to see that darkness driven out, not just individually in our lives, but this darkness driven out of this congregation, of the people of God, so that we would be proper witnesses to a world that we indeed do love one another because we are followers of yours. Lord, help us to do this well by the power of your Spirit and by the love that you shine in and through us. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for loving us, certainly beyond what we deserve. Help us to walk in Jesus' name. Amen.